This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Hoffman Forest near Jacksonville, North Carolina, has been identified by many as a crown jewel in the world of forestry research. It's an 80,000-acre patch of ground that contains the headwaters of several eastern Carolina rivers. It's also important to the ecosystem as well as an ideal place for teaching forestry. But North Carolina State University's Natural Resources Foundation has just put the forest on the market. They've decided that the income the Hoffman Forest would generate trumps its educational value. Renee Elder is a reporter for the News and Observer in Raleigh. She's been covering the sale of the Hoffman Forest and is with us now. Renee, welcome.
Thank you.
So what exactly is the Hoffman Forest?
It's an 80,000-acre resource. It's mainly uninhabited land that includes an upland swamp, plus many, almost half of it, as I understand, is planted in pine forest.
All right, and it's sort of north of Jacksonville. How did it become the Hoffman Forest and in the possession of North Carolina State?
Well, back in the 1930s, North Carolina State started its forestry program, and Julius Doc Hoffman was the first leader of that program. And when he came, he decided he would like to amass some property for the forestry department and went to that area and was able to arrange the purchase of this property, 80,000 acres. And it was that man, especially, who made it come.
Well, he's an interesting fellow himself in the history of forestry in the United States, right?
He is. He is one of the very first people who became a professional forester and was able to teach that.
Yeah, he's kind of the first. What is it true that he had the first PhD in forestry, or at least among?
I believe that's true.
Among the first PhDs in forestry. So this comes to the state of North Carolina at a time when forestry itself is coming of age. It's a relatively new. I mean, the idea of conservation gets going in the sort of the earliest part of the 20th century. People start looking at our forests that had been rapidly dwindling through the industrialization of the 19th century and said, "Hold it, let's put the brakes on this. Not only should we preserve, but also study. We just don't know enough about this." And along comes Hoffman, a guy from Pennsylvania, I guess, who decides he's going to study this particular land. It comes into the possession of the state of North Carolina. Now, how long has it been? Was it always part of North Carolina State then from that time on, and was it always under study from the early 1930s?
It was intended to be a research area as well as to be an income-producing property for the College of Forestry. It was originally owned by the Forestry Foundation, which was later merged with the Paper and Pulp Foundation to become the foundation we know today as the Natural Resources Foundation.
Well, so that raises this question, and what that is, who makes up this foundation? Who's on that foundation?
Well, there are a variety of business people and conservation people and members of the forestry industry. Not so much foresters, apparently, anymore. At one point, there was a majority on the board that were licensed to practice forestry, and now those people have mostly gone off the board.
So an industry, and that has always been a part, or how long has that been a part? Because there were parts of the forest that were harvested, that were used. There was a kind of commercial application to the forest, even while it was under study. Is that right?
Right, and I think Doc Hoffman actually intended it to be an income-producing property. It was never thought, in my understanding, to be a strictly for research, but both functions, to provide money for the forestry department as well as to have an opportunity to manage this great big piece of land.
And do people in the area, I mean, I guess anybody, but do we have access to it? Do people hike in there? Do they, or is it strictly for research?
Well, I think that it's primarily for research. Most of it is not very accessible. The way I understand it's brush. It's a Pocosin forest, which is mainly swamp, which is mainly low-growing vegetation and murky waters, and then the rest is timberland. So it's not really like a recreation area.
When you talk about upland swamps, I mean, this is a fairly unique kind of ecosystem that you would have swamps, which we consider or at least associate with lowlands, upland swamps as the headwaters for some of the big rivers in the area. It sounds to me like a unique patch of forest, a unique ecosystem?
Well, it's definitely one that is unusual, and in our state, it's one of the largest forests in the on the coastal plain that's been studied by NC State or anyone else. The three rivers, White Oak, Trent, and New, all have their headwaters there, and then the rest of the lower parts of the property are where the trees are grown.
So why did the foundation decide to sell it?
The idea behind the sale is basically to make more money. The income from the sale of the timber has been going down, partly because of the timber market, partly because they've been harvesting aggressively for the past few years, and so they have to wait for new wood to grow. The investment, in many people's opinion, could be better served by being in some sort of diversified fund rather than strictly in timber.
And they're estimating something around $117 million when it's all said and done?
That's the evaluation they have now, I guess, that wait to see when the bids are opened what there might be, whether it's more or less than that.
All right. And who would buy this land? Would they buy it all? Would they buy it in pieces? And who would be interested in buying the forest?
Well, I was told that it was going to be sold as a piece, not in parcels, and that it would be – they're looking for someone who will continue to use it as a working forest as well as allow research.
But would there be any restrictions on the sale?
I don't know specifically, but they are looking to have research continue there, and they want to have it associated with the Hoffman name.
Now, this has raised some opposition on the campus and elsewhere. Tell us about that.
Quite a bit. I'm still getting phone calls. There are a lot of people in the forestry department who feel that it's a unique resource and they should not sell it, that it's you can't put a dollar figure on something like that. There don't make big tracts of land like that available very often, and it's a opportunity to do a level and scope of research using that size of property that they can't do on smaller plots.
Right, and there's a fair amount. You talked about the forestry department, but apparently a number of faculty members on the NC State campus have joined in the call for a halt to the sale. Am I right?
I think yes. I think it's growing, and as awareness spreads.
And you said that they were hoping, the foundation is hoping, that whoever buys it will leave it open for research. But I guess there's some form of precedent for this. There was another time in the forest history when it really fell into private hands. And so there's some precedent for how much access scholars might have in their research based on that experience. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the professors that have been there for a while point out that during some periods, including the 1990s, private timber companies would have contracts to manage the land, and then they would have certain restrictions on the researchers that would be, you know, more restrictive than what they have now, and they're worried about that.
So the last time they tried this, it was a little harder to get in when they had to negotiate with the private owners. The people who are leasing it. Well,
right.
What else? What other lands? This is an 80,000 tract piece of land, and clearly the biggest. What are some? Does NC State have others? And sort of how do they compare?
Well, they do have others. There's Schenck Forest west of Raleigh. There's another piece of property in Durham County. They have several throughout the state, but none of them are bigger than 5,000 or 6,000 acres, in my understanding.
So you talked about it, and I think I saw something like 40% of faculty, if I have that right, have signed a petition asking for a halt to the sale. The forestry department is not behind it. Is there a process or that this sale has to go through, or is it a done deal? Is it simply going to happen?
Well, as one of the board staff said to me, it's not a fire sale. They don't have to sell it. If they don't get an offer they're happy with, they can turn them down. They can turn them all down. But also, it is up to the board as far as the decision to sell, and they will have to vote on that. There has not been any other means for input other than just what they've discussions they've had with some
right.
faculty
So they can make that decision, and then they would be the ones to decide on the buyer as well. There's no other process. Does it go through a state? Does the state of North Carolina have another way of evaluating the sale and how that goes through, or even the process for the sale?
Well, the North Carolina State Foundation, which is sort of the broader funding arm, would have to approve. But as far as I know, they would defer to the recommendation of the Natural Resources Foundation.
All right, Renee. Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Renee Elder, a reporter for the News and Observer in Raleigh. This is the state of things. Just ahead, Susan Stein performs the diaries of a young Jewish woman during World War II. You're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.